chapter number 20, and beginning in verse number 1. We've talked a lot about this resurrection. I don't guess we've preached it out. I've got about a dozen outlines that I've scribbled down since the meetings have started this morning, so I don't guess we've preached it out, have we? I mean, I got one we ain't even got started on. Then drew Jesus near unto them. That didn't even hit me until I started reading my text this morning in the sunrise service. We hadn't preached it out. John chapter 20, verse 1, I want to show you something we hadn't talked about yet this morning from this account of the resurrection. By the way, ain't it interesting? Sunday school lesson was Matthew 28. And then the message this morning and the sunrise service from Luke chapter 24. Now we're in John chapter 20. The only gospel we left out this morning is Mark. Amen. Got in every one of these gospels except for Mark on the resurrection. You ought to go home and read about Mark's account of it. It'd be a blessing to you. John chapter 20, verse number 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, under the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taketh away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, which is John. Saith unto them, they've taken away the Lord from out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre, and they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre, and he stooping down and looking in saw the linen cloths lying, yet he went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen cloths lie. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Verse 11, notice this is where we really spend most of our time beginning in verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. When she had thus said, notice she didn't even wait for a response, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing. Why, if you were to stop right there, you'd think, well, it's shouting ground now, wouldn't you? But instead, it said, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the Word of the Lord. On three occasions it's recorded in the Gospel that someone supposed something in relation to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 2, the parents of the Lord supposed that He was with them when He was not. The Bible says that He was back at the temple while they were there at Jerusalem at 12 years old. He was back at the temple with the doctors and the lawyers, questioning them, asking questions of them, and answering the questions as He had asked them. They supposed that He was with them when He was not. In Mark chapter number 6, the disciples were out on the sea, and they supposed that Jesus was not with them, when in reality He really was. And they saw Him come walking to them on the sea. In our text, we find that Mary supposed Jesus to have been someone else entirely from actually who He even really was. We can, however, be certain, friend, while these
Jesus supposed things inaccurately concerning Jesus, we can be certain wherever our Lord is concerned. The Lord has not given us a hope so, think so, maybe so religion that you can have the no-so heartfelt kind. Amen. And so we can know some things about the Lord. You see, Mary Magdalene had been the last to leave the tomb after our Lord had died, after He had been wrapped in grave clothes, and she helped to bury Him. Joseph of Arimathea, and it was that Nicodemus begged the body of the Lord, and they buried the Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew chapter 28. And Mary Magdalene was the last one to leave the tomb, sitting there that day staring at the graveside. The Sabbath was defiled, and they were not allowed to do such, being good Jews on the Sabbath, going to the tomb, walking so many miles and so forth. And so they didn't visit the tomb on the Sabbath day. But then very early as it was allowed, at the breaking of day in the morning they came. Mary, the Bible says in John chapter 20, before the break of day, while it was yet dark, the other women coming in and finding that tomb empty. Mary cannot seem to get decided upon what's happened here. She had the unique privilege, my friend, of being the last to leave the tomb and being the first person to see Jesus following His resurrection, as well as to be the first person to see the empty tomb. She was the first person to whom our Lord spoke after He had overcome death, triumphing over death in it, friend. But in verse number 1, when Mary discovered the empty tomb, it was not an encouragement to her. She went running and found Peter and James, her other Peter and John, and brought them back to find the tomb. And they found this tomb empty, but they saw not the angels, the Bible said. We talked about that this morning from Luke 24. As Cleopas had said, that they didn't see the angels, that the women had seen the angels, but that the disciples had not seen them. But the Bible said that it was a discouragement to her. And verse number 11, Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. Now, friend, Mary was weeping at the tomb because when she went there, Jesus was not in the tomb. I mean, she went to the tomb, she didn't find Jesus, and she began to weep. She didn't realize, listen to me, friend, she went to the tomb, and because it was empty, she cried. She went to the tomb, and because it was empty, she wept. She went to the tomb, and because it was empty, she sorrowed. Oh my. She didn't realize, had she got to the tomb, had it not been empty, then she should have wept. Then she should have cried. When she got there and she found it empty, the thing that she should have rejoiced over, she wept over and cried because the tomb was empty. Oh, she didn't realize that she would have had cause to weep had Jesus been in the tomb. And nothing could have been more tragic than that, that He was not there. Two times in this passage of Scripture, Mary is asked the question, "Woman, why weepest thou?" And that's what I want to preach on this morning. Why weepest thou? We've been preaching through these questions in the Bible on Wednesday night. I guess we'll drag that sermon series over for Easter Sunday morning. Woman, why weepest thou? Why weepest thou? She wept because she didn't know what had happened to Jesus. This morning we weep a different kind of tears. And we shed tears of joy because we do know what happened to Jesus and with Jesus. Amen. And notice, first of all, her sorrow that was unjustified. Mary stood at the sepulchre weeping as if nothing could comfort her. She wept when the angel spoke to her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She was still weeping in verse 15. And when our Lord spoke to her, saying, "Woman, why weepest thou?" Our friend noticed the burden of her complaint. Her tears necessary. I wonder how often are we anxious when there's really no cause for anxiety. How often do you worry needlessly? How often do you fret over something that's not even real? Amen. One fellow said most of us has got three kinds of problems. The kind that we have had, the kind that we are having, and the kind that we expect to have. Amen. All of us have really got three problems. And the problems you expect to have, you may never even have. But you're weeping over stuff that hadn't even happened yet. You're weeping over troubles that aren't even real. You're anxious, you're careful and troubled about many things. And Mary is weeping over something that's not even real. And Mary come down and found the seal of the tomb unbroken, and her master's body lying cold within. She'd have had good reason to weep. However, the very absence of the body which made her weep, that should have been her cause to rejoice. Many times the Lord puts blessings in our lives and you think it's a burden. He puts blessings in your life and you think it's a problem. He puts good things in our lives and you think it's a trouble, friend. Oh, the burden of her complaint is not even real. It was unjustified. If Mary, friend, I had just realized, my friend, like us, there are times we sorrow over the wrong things. We stand looking at what we believe is tragic, and we sorrow when we should be shouting instead. And Mary was crying over a problem that didn't actually exist. The body of Jesus had not been stolen. She had created a burden over which she had sorrowed. How often is it we spend time worrying and sorrowing over the things that have never even happened? Amen.
Brother Bob, I said here recently, if you don't mind, and I'm going to confess, this is one of my greatest faults. I have the capacity, it's also one of my greatest gifts, I have the capacity to be more negative than everybody else in this building put together when I put my mind to it. I mean, I can, buddy. Matter of fact, you want to hear doom and gloom, I can put it together for you. I'm telling you, I can paint a picture the likes of which you wouldn't imagine, and things that you couldn't imagine could ever happen. I can make you believe not only can it happen, it has happened, will happen, and likely to happen again, and maybe get worse from there. I'm telling you, I can do it. And Mary had much that same capacity about herself. As she comes down, she finds the tomb. The stone rolled away. Nobody told her that the body was stolen. Nobody said that somebody took the Lord. As she assumed every bit of this, she made it all up, if you will. I mean, friends, she just took and created this whole scenario, and she's all worried about something that's not true, that she has no evidence for, that nobody's even told her is true, and she's falling apart about the very thing she ought to be falling apart over and shouting instead of sorrowing.
Amen.
Times in my life and yours, God sends a blessing that we don't understand. And instead of saying, Lord, open my eyes to it, we're falling apart and saying, God, I don't know why you're treating me like this. Like you do me better than what you do. And all the while he's helping us, and we can't even see it. We think somebody stole something we left, and God's helping us, and we don't even know it.
Amen.
Some of you was about to get married to the wrong person. You'd lived in hell the rest of your life, and you thought somebody stole your man, your woman. That is the best thing ever happened to you. Amen. You was a weeping, and you ought to have been shouting. Amen. That's exactly right. Hey. Some of you thought that job you wanted, you thought you had to have it, and yet it's given to somebody else. You said somebody stole it from it. And it is the Lord. It is a blessing. And you didn't even know it. Help me preach now. You know what I'm saying, right? And you thought, my, I just had to have that house. I just had to have that car. And the finances didn't work out. And somebody else bought it out from under me. I tell you, my friend, you may have thought it was stolen from you.
answer.
Yeah.
Where you were sorrowing,
yeah.
you should have been shouting.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, God
yeah.
knows how to take care of you.
Amen.
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 Amen. Woman, why weepest thou?
Yeah.
A Christian, why weepest thou?
Yeah.
Quit looking at what you think somebody's took away
yeah.
and realize God's watchful eye
yeah.
has been on it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And trust in the Lord.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My, my. Some of you think that somebody's done stole your health. Amen. Sickness has struck. Serious business can strike in households when sickness comes. Serious financial constraints can come, especially when sickness comes. I mean, serious pressure can come on families. And listen, it ain't just a sick person. We talk about Job a lot of times. What about his poor old wife? Has she lost her cattle? She lost her oxen? She lost all of her livestock? She lost all of her property that she owned? She buried all of her children just like Job. She waited on her husband day and night and watched him suffer and washed his balls on his skin and my friend lost sleep over it. I tell you, my friend, and she thought somebody was stealing from her, but her husband said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, and blessed be the name of the Lord." I tell you, trust God. He said, "Though the Lord slay me, yet will I trust him." I tell you, just trust God.
Amen.
Her burden of her complaint, it was a sorrow that was unjustified. And my friend, she had a burden in her complaint, and she didn't realize there's a blessing in her complaint. Amen. Mary saw the empty tomb. Mary saw an empty body that concerned her. And she began to weep. And she couldn't see through her tears. As the thing she was weeping about was actually the most blessed thing she had ever seen in her life. Amen. You may be grieving over a lost job or a broken relationship or a failed venture, a financial setback or something else lost in your life. But it may be a blessing. Mary said, "They took away my Lord and I don't know where they've laid him." She didn't see the hand of God. Oh, my friend, she saw the Jews. She saw the Romans. She saw their cruel executioners. But the hand of God was hidden from her eyes. I see a crash is infinitely larger in power than what she ever imagined. And it's infinitely larger in a power than we can imagine a day. And you might not see the hand of God at work, but I like what William Thompson says. When you don't see what God's doing, God's still doing.
Amen.
Woo! You might not see what God's doing, but Brother Andy, he's still doing. Woo! You might not know what he's doing, but he's doing.
Amen.
God ain't on vacation this morning. He's not off somewhere on a trip. He's not taking a coffee break. Amen. Thank God you may not see what he's doing, but he's doing. Amen. And what he's doing right, Brother Scott. He's not messing any of it up. He's doing it just right. Hallelujah to his name. Thank God you might not see what he's doing. It may be your vision is blinded and blurry. It may be that it's hindered by a stone. Maybe it's hindered by a soldier. Maybe it's hindered by a sacrifice. But thank God the Savior's behind that stone. The Savior's in control of those soldiers. The Savior has power over the sacrifice. Would you trust the Savior this morning? Oh, her tears were unjustified.
The sorrow that was unjustified, woman, why weepest thou? Christian, saved person, sir, ma'am, why weepest thou this morning?
Jesus asked him on the road to Emmaus, "What is it that's troubling you so much?" I wonder this morning, what's troubling you so much?
General manager of our insurance company met with us on Friday afternoon, and he always starts off with the same question, "What's keeping you up at night?" I wonder, what is it this morning that's keeping you up at night? Hey man, I got a 15-month-old, 16-month-old. I can tell you what's keeping us up at night. But I wonder, what worry is keeping you up at night? I see Sister Melissa back here nodding her head. She knows what I'm talking about. Hey man, that's right. That's exact. Somebody said, "Oh, I tell you, I slept like a baby last night." You didn't do too good then, did you? Hey man, I'm telling you what's true, because babies don't sleep. Even when they're asleep, they're the noisiest sleepers I ever seen. Waller and squirm and willa. Waller and roll around. I tell you, it's a sight, wiggling all night long. Oh, but I wonder what's keeping you up all night. What is it that you're worried over? Why you got the wrinkles on your forehead and the gray hairs are growing in? Hey, man, or colored out. Hey, I mean, friend, why is it? Why is it, friend? Hey, why? How the wrinkles on your face from frowning instead of smiling? Hey, man. I tell you, if I don't want to get wrinkles on my face, I wonder if they're always advertising in the magazines and the newspaper and such. They're always advertising how to get rid of the parentheses marks, you know. These parentheses comes on the side of your face. Those wrinkles, but listen, those wrinkles that comes right here, they come from smiling. Hey, amen. And when I get wrinkles, I want it to be those parentheses. Hey, I marked enough of these on my forehead from worry. And I tell you, they're useless. They've done nothing for me. They've accomplished nothing. But I'm proud of these parentheses, friend. I tell you, he'll put a smile on your face. Woman, why weepest thou? Sir, why weepest thou? Child, why weepest thou? Don't you know Jesus is alive? He's high and lifted up. He's on his throne. He's God, my friend. And there's nothing that can overcome him. Amen. The sorrow that is unjustified. Then secondly this morning, notice the speculation that was unwarranted. When Mary saw the empty tomb that early Easter Sunday morning, she instantly jumped to a conclusion regarding its meaning. The tomb's empty. Somebody has stolen. Nobody told her this. She didn't read this in the Bible. You remember when Jesus asked, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some said they're Elias, some said John the Baptist, some say Elijah." He said, "Whom do you say that I am?" Peter said, "I say thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord told him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonas, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Mary Magdalene couldn't say, "I've got a word from the Lord, Jesus' body's stolen," because the Lord didn't tell her no such thing. Her speculation was unwarranted. Mary had no need to speculate about what happened. She had no cause to be able to jump to conclusions. Matter of fact, you should have just been listening while Jesus was talking. He said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be crucified and on the third day rise again." He said, "I have the power to lay my life down, and if I lay it down, I got the power to take it up again." He said, "An evil generation seeking for a sign, but no sign shall be given you except that of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth." Are you listening to me this morning? He already told him, "My friend, just go back to Galilee and wait, and I'll meet you there." They had already been told he would rise. And Mary Magdalene had no cause, her friend, to speculate. Had she only trusted the word of the Savior, she had his word about what was going to happen. I tell you, friend, things are not always what they seem. And we cannot always trust our judgment regarding the situations we face in our lives. And what you think's happening and what's happening lots of times are two different things entirely. You can't trust your feelings.
eyes. You can't trust your judgment. You can't trust your life. But you can trust your Lord. Amen. You can trust His Word. What He said I will, He will. What He said I will, I shall return, He shall return. He that shall come will come and will not tarry. When He said I'll never leave you, friend, He'll never leave you. When He said I'll send the Holy Ghost, He'll send the Holy Ghost. When He said if you'll confess your sin and He's faithful and just forgive us for our sin, He'll forgive you your sin. Everything He ever promised, He's able also to perform.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You can trust. You cannot trust your logic.
That's right.
You cannot trust your judgment.
That's right.
But you can trust your Lord. You can trust His Word. The speculation was unwarranted. Notice how she assessed the situation. Mary looked at what she saw. She walked by sight.
Amen.
And she could think of only one possibility. Somebody's moved him. I wonder, are you walking by sight? She was seeking, by the way. The reason why she thought somebody had moved him is on account of what she was looking for. Dead folks don't move themselves. She thought somebody else had to move him because dead folks don't get up and walk around. And she was looking for a dead Jesus. And by the way, if you're not really trusting in a living Lord, if all Jesus is the man hanging on the cross, or if all He is the stranger upstairs, or whatever other phrases that people use for Him, chances are you'll never really understand what He's doing in your life until you understand that He's a living Lord, that He's high and lifted up, that He's on the throne, that He's God, and besides Him there's not another. Oh, if you're looking for a different Jesus for Him, you'll never understand what this same Jesus is doing. She was seeking a dead Lord. I like this, read it this week. Wanted to share it with you, friend. All original religions of the world has a dead prophet. I mean it, friend, and I don't even like to call the names of them. And so I won't. But all the religions of the world have a dead prophet, some preacher, some man that come teaching some a way for them to live their lives, some manner for which man to aspire, to reach the level to satisfy God. He's their prophet, their Messiah. But every one of them have a dead prophet. They have a dead Messiah. They put flowers on their grave. They dress up their tombs. And my friend, they celebrate the days of their death. But a religion that dresses up the dead corpse of a dead prophet is of no good. Hallelujah. And this morning we celebrate not a dead prophet, but a living Savior. Amen. Only a living Savior whose triumph over the grave offers hope for our sorrows. Her mistake was rooted in that she was looking for a dead Jesus.
Amen.
The speculation was completely unwarranted. She assessed it based on what she was looking for. She sees Jesus and she mistakes Him for the gardener. She must have felt as though she now had come face to face with the cause of all her sorrow. He's gone. Here's the man that's responsible for keeping the cemetery. This is the guy that must have took him. Now you got to think, when she sees him and supposes him to be the gardener, not only did she think the gardener was a stranger, this was the enemy. The one she came looking for, she thought was her enemy. Anybody know what that's like?
Do you know what it's like to sit on the pew lost and needing a Savior? I mean, needing somebody to save your soul. Needing Jesus to change your life. Needing forgiveness from sin. And Jesus show up and begin to convict you through His Holy Spirit. And you push back. And you wonder why God hates you like He does. And you think Jesus is your enemy. Why does that preacher keep pointing his finger out here at me? Why does he keep talking ugly about me? Why does he keep telling everybody how sorry I am and about all the sin I've committed? And why does God hate me like he does? I mean, the very person you ought to love, you think he's your enemy because he's looking for somebody else. He's the cause of all my trouble. This is the fellow to blame for the whole thing. I want to tell you something this morning. Are you listening to me now? God's not to blame for all your trouble. It's not the Lord's fault you got sin in your life. And God's the answer to your problems. God's not your problem. He's the answer to your problem.
Amen.
He's your solution this morning. She looked at him and she saw him and she thought she'd come face to face with the cause of all her sorrow. But she was looking in the face of the one who held in his hand the peace that she needed in her soul. Assessing any situation without including the power of God will leave you to a grave and deadly mistake. Notice how she addressed the situation. Just tell me where he is. Listen, mister, I don't want no problems with you. I'm not even mad because you took him. I ought to be mad at you now, Mr. Gardner. I ought to be upset that you moved his body before we had... I'm sure you must have had a good reason. Maybe you didn't have time to clean up around this place before they buried him a couple of days ago. Maybe you had a good reason for moving him. I don't really appreciate it now because we needed to get him an accurate and a proper burial and cover his body with spices and ointment and so forth. And that's what we come down here for this morning. But I'm not going to get mad with you. If you'll just tell me where you put him, I'll take care of the rest. I'll see to it that he's buried properly. I'll see to it that the spices are put on his body. I'll see to it that he's wrapped back up in the proper grave clothes the way he should be. When it's all said and done, just let me handle things from now on. I tell you, if you ever felt that way in your life, if the Lord had quit messing up your life, that you could do all right by yourself. And in every case, we've made a mess of it when we've tried that. I'll handle it now. I can take care of it. She approaches the situation as if it's something she can fix. How often I may, we're completely mistaken about the problem, and we're equally mistaken on how to fix it. Friend, there was nothing to fix. It had already been fixed. Amen. Somebody said, I'm going to straighten up. I'm going to live better. I'm going to do right. I'm going to quit drinking and cussing and beating my wife and kicking my dog. How you going to fix it, huh? I tell you what, if you trust Jesus, he's already fixed it. If you learn to lean on Jesus, he's already fixed it. There's nothing left for you to fix. Jesus can fix it for you.
Amen.
It was already fixed. The problem was that Mary needed fixing. Amen.
Right.
And it, whatever it is, your sin problem or your situation or your sickness, it don't need fixing this morning. You do. And Jesus didn't come to fix your end. He came to fix you. Amen. He didn't come to fix your situation. He came to fix you. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to fix you. And I'm going to tell you something. You're a lot harder to fix than your situation is.
Right.
Somebody say amen to that right there. Some of you that's married to somebody else, say amen on their account. Amen. That's exactly right. You are a lot harder fixed than your situation is. That's right. I mean, some of you in situations is big. Some of you in situations ain't that big at all. Matter of fact, I know because I can fix all of your problems.
Right.
I ain't got no idea what to do with mine, but I can fix all of yours. But it's us. It's not the it. It's the us that's the hard fix. And Jesus came to fix us. Mary's problem didn't need fixing. Mary needed fixing. But I'm glad Jesus knew how to fix Mary. You know how hard it was for Jesus to fix Mary? All he had to do was call her by name. Reveal to her who he was. Oh my. Somebody said, how Jesus going to fix it? He'll just talk to you. He'll call you by name when you hear his voice. Listen, when you hear his voice, you realize you ain't got nothing to fix. He's already fixed it. Woo! The problem she thought she had, it didn't even exist when she saw Jesus. I mean, friend, it wasn't it that needed fixing. It was Mary that needed fixing. And Jesus knew how to fix it. Hallelujah. I'm finishing with this. Fixing with it too. Fixing to get done. A Savior that's unrecognized. There was sorrow that is unjustified. Speculation unwarranted. And then there's a Savior that's unrecognized. The very one for whom Mary was searching and sobbing was the very one who stood before her, yet she didn't know it was Jesus. She was looking for a dead Jesus and something a whole lot better. The living Jesus stood right before her. You know what happens with a lot of folks? They're looking to do something to get saved. Now, I know I'm preaching a lot on salvation. That ain't what I plan on preaching on, but it's what the Lord's leading on, pressing on my heart to do this morning. There's a lot of folks that's looking to get saved. Good Master, what must I do? What good thing can I do that I might inherit eternal life? They're looking for, my friends, some sort of work that they can do to get saved. And all the while, something a whole lot better. Salvation by grace, not of works. It's a gift of God. And my friend, not of works that any man should boast. That's what's waiting for you. I mean, friend, hey, they're looking to do something to get saved. But that's a dead salvation. There is no salvation in what you can give yourself. Salvation's in what you can't get for yourself. Amen. See, looking for a dead Jesus and something a whole lot better, the living Jesus is standing right in front of her. Amen. For a while, how about this? For a while, she couldn't see the Savior for the sepulchre. You ever thought about that? She couldn't see the Savior for the sepulchre. Now here'd be a good message if you don't preach it somewhere or another, you preachers at a funeral. Mary could not see the Savior for the sepulchre. She couldn't see the Lord for the linen cloths. The grave. Death was in her way of seeing God. Now I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of folks, their sorrows, their grief is in the way of their seeing the great Lord. She came looking for a dead Jesus. Notice the phrase Jesus said. They asked in verse 13, "Woman, why weepest thou?" In verse 15, Jesus asked a woman, "Why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" Who exactly is it you're looking for? I'm standing right here. I mean, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? Is it not enough to see Jesus alive and well? The Lord's reminding her and us as well. Friend, notice by the way, he didn't say, "What seekest thou?" He said, "Whom seekest thou?" Amen. Not "What seekest thou?" Whom seekest thou? And the Lord's reminding her and us as well, it's not something that we're looking for this morning. It's someone we're looking for. Amen. Somebody said, "I looked for a long time. I looked for something to fill my life." Long as you're looking for something to fill your life, you'll never get filled.
message, but they've never been fulfilled. But I tell you, when something cannot fill your life, I know someone who can. Hallelujah. I don't look for something, but someone. I tell you, I know a man who can. It's Jesus. A woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? I'm standing right here. Look at me. It's Jesus. I'm enough. Quit weeping. I'm the one you've been looking for. Oh, I'm so glad for the blessed night. When my heart broke, I saw myself a sinner. I saw the grave that is waiting on me. That a sin hold my body. Realized I had to meet God on the other side of the sepulcher. But while I was in sorrow, he said, who are you looking for? It's me. I'm the Savior. And I'm not dead. I'm alive. Would you trust me? I tell you, he's alive. And he's ready to hear our prayers.
Amen.
Why weepest thou? My Lord, if this wasn't a second time I'd already preached before lunchtime, I'd have a voice to preach this with. Man, ain't it wonderful to be saved.
Amen.
The Savior. That, now I want to mention there's two reasons why you miss him. I'm going to preach this and I'm done. There's two reasons why you miss him this morning. We even come back tonight, so I might as well finish up this morning. I can't postpone it till tonight. You miss the Savior because you're not looking for him. Much speculation has gone into why that Mary didn't immediately recognize the figure of Jesus. Some have said that she simply didn't look carefully enough at him. Others have speculated that she couldn't see him through her tears. May have been that she didn't recognize Jesus because she was looking for his corpse. You ever thought about that? She was expecting to see the battered, bruised, and wounded body of a dead master she had recently helped to hurriedly wrap in grave clothes. She wasn't expecting to see a risen Savior. How deceptive is our unbelief? It'll bind you, friend. The gardener was alive, and therefore it did not immediately occur to her that he just might be Jesus. She was not looking for him. We face the problems we face in life without hope and without faith that God can intervene and turn the situation for our glory. Friend, we set ourselves up to completely miss the presence of God in our lives.
Sure.
God's not going to do anything. Nothing's going to happen. Things will always be as they've always been. You are setting yourself up to miss it when Jesus blows through.
Amen.
Without hope and without help and without faith, you're going to miss it when Jesus shows up. The Lord, things ain't never going to get better. Matter of fact, they're going to get worse. Now I'm going to tell you how I'll do it. Matter of fact, I'll tell you how they're going to get worse. You want to hang around a little while? You hang around at the pirate's house when things go wrong. I can tell you not only that they will get worse, I will tell you how they will get worse. And then when I get done telling you how they'll get worse, I'll tell you when they're going to get worse. And then I'll let you know that it'll probably be worse than what I can tell you. That's right. Buddy, I can do it. Absolutely. And you know what happens to me a lot of times? When the Lord shows up in the middle of all of it, but it's God, I miss it. Because I wasn't looking for nothing. I'm the one that shows up and said, Lord, if you'd just been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And he said, didn't I tell you, if you'd just believe, you'd see the glory of God. That's why I have to preach stuff like this. Why the Lord gives it to me to preach it. He preaches it to me before I get to preach it to you. So many times our negativism and unbelief causes us to miss it when Jesus blows through because we're not even looking for him. You miss him because you're not looking for him. You miss him this morning because you're not listening for him.
Jesus saith unto her, Mary! She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master, and hallelujah for it. He called her name. She knew who he was. She recognized him. It's a beautiful moment. But the truth is, this ain't the first time he talked to her. He had already spoke to her in verse 15 when he said, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? As good as to say, Turn around, lady. I'm standing right here. But she paid him no attention at all. I wish I could say this morning that I listened to the Lord and paid attention to the Lord the first time He's ever spoken in my life. To be saved in my situations, in my storms. I'm afraid sometimes He has to talk real loud to get my attention. I'm afraid sometimes He has to catch my attention. Hey, you ever done this with your kids? I know you have, Brother Matthew. I know you have. You've done this with your youngins. You're sitting there now and you need one of them to do something. Beth and Hannah, whoever. You need one of them to do something. Go get you. You're working on something. Get you that socket, wrench, whatever. And you say, hand me that wrench over there. They're supposed to be hipping now. You know how kids do. They're supposed to be hipping. You in the garage working. They're supposed to be hipping and they're holding the wrench for you. And you say, hand me that wrench right there now, please. You're on your back in a strain. Something's about to fall on, you're probably going to get killed. And you see how negative I can be real fast. And the soul, I mean, it's getting tight. I mean, we're in a tight spot. You say, hand me that wrench now. Hand me that wrench. Would you have... Bethany! Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, when you call her name, see, she knew you was talking. How many times have we been like that? I mean, we're standing there waiting for the Lord. He's already spoke to us. He said, woman, why weepest thou? He said, Christian, why weepest thou? He looked at you in your troubles and he said, Tanya, why weepest thou? And to whom seekest thou? I'm right here. Look at me. I'm right here. And you said, oh, Lord, if you just knew about all my troubles. And he said, I'm right here, finally. He has to stop and say, Tanya, look at me. And catch our attention. Draw our eyes unto him. Are you listening this morning? How many times do we come to church and you say, I'm just not getting fed? Are you listening for the Lord? I'm not hearing anything that help me. Are you listening for the Lord? I need a word from God. She missed him in the first verse, in verse 15, not because he wasn't there. He spoke two full sentences unto her, and yet she didn't know he was there till he jolted her by calling her name. I appreciate the Lord's patience, but I'm ashamed a lot of times of my pitiful listening skills.
Amen.
Are you listening for the Lord this morning? Are you listening for Him? I wonder when you came to the garden tomb, when you came on Easter Sunday this morning, were you listening for His voice? If she'd been listening for His voice, she'd have recognized Him. She knew who He was. How often do you go to church listening for the voice of God? How often, friend, not listen? Oh, not listen to the preacher. Not listen to come to hear the singing, to hear the Sunday school lesson, to hear the sermon. But I mean, if you come to hear the Savior this morning, are you listening for the voice of the Lord? I finished preaching. You come on the song this morning. I wonder, all the while you've been here, some of you have been here since real early in the morning. Some of you got up so early this morning cooking for all the rest of us. That honest of the weariness of your flesh, even though you've enjoyed the meeting this morning and sunrise of the day, the weariness of your flesh is such it's been a battle for you to stay alert and so forth through the preacher. I mean, just because of the weariness of your flesh. Some of you sat through two services, Sunday school, singing by the choir and this trio singing this morning. Praise God, the hymnals, the testimonies, and you still ain't heard the voice of the Lord. I wonder what you come listening for this morning. I want to hear that good choir sing. I praise God for the good choir. I want to hear my preacher preach. I've done my best twice now. Voice has been weak and tired and throat scratching, but I've done my best now twice to try to preach to you more than what some of you want me to. Amen. But I wonder, have you heard a whisper from the Savior? Oh my. Brother Matthew, if I preached till I'm blue in the face and my body's completely exhausted, and I mean in power and demonstration, but if you don't hear a whisper from the Savior, then it's of little value. It's of some, but it's of little value unto you. Did you come listening for the Savior? Don't miss Him while He's passing by. Don't miss Him. My. Don't miss Him. He's saying, woman, man, sir, ma'am, brother, sister, mom, dad, son, daughter, why weepest thou? Trust in me. Who are you looking for? I'm standing right here. Trust in me. His resurrection from the dead should dispel our worry. He's alive and well. It should compel our worship. He's a living God and the God of the living. And it should propel our witnessing.
Amen.
The resurrected Christ gives us all a job to do. We're to tell others that Jesus died for our sins and rose again from the dead.
Amen.
I wonder, do you know Him today? Will you serve Him? Will you trust Him? Will you hear His voice? Heed it and do what He says to do. Please stand if you need to pray. Would you come this morning and do business with God? If you need to talk to the Lord, would you fill these altars up this morning? Just share your burdens with Jesus. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. My, while He's a-calling on you, would you call on Him? If you need to pray, would you come? Sing when you're ready. If you need to talk to the Lord, find your place in these altars, maybe around this mourner's bench, and talk to the sweet Lord this morning. Do you need to talk to the Lord? Some are praying, others need to come. I've talked to a lot of you just this week, last week, recent weeks. I know many of the burdens that are on your heart. I realize the heaviness that's in your soul. But I also know the great God that's in heaven and knows how to take care of it all. Stone. Don't miss the Savior staring at the sorrows and the struggles of life. God still rolls away stones.
I want you to think about something when it comes time to pray. He asked the question, woman, why weepest thou? When it comes time to pray in your life, when you're broken down with a burden that's so great that you don't know what to do with it, I want you to think about this question. The Lord is genuinely interested in what's breaking your heart. He knew what is bothering her. You remember this morning we was preaching Luke 24? Why is your countenance so sad? He knew what is bothering him, and yet he took the time to ask. And again this morning, he knew exactly what is bothering Mary Magdalene, and yet he took the time to ask, woman, why weepest thou? And when your heart broken, remember the Lord's interested in hearing what it is that you tore up about. But He's not just interested in hearing it. He's interested in showing you Himself. And when you've figured out what you're weeping about ain't near as big as the Savior you're weeping to, He'll dry all your tears and put joy where they had been. Why, ain't that good stuff? When you're heartbroken and you're praying, I hope you'll think about that. Woman, why weepest thou? Sir, why weepest thou? What is it that's troubling you? It ain't no bigger than Jesus. You don't know how big my trouble is. It ain't no bigger than Jesus. Amen. Amen. You're satisfied that you've been obedient to the Lord this morning. All right. What a blessing to be at the house of God on the Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day.
Amen.
No meeting tonight. Wednesday night we'll meet back. Questions in the Bible? Woman, why we could weep as though we might preach on whom seekest thou? Don't know what the Lord will have for us Wednesday night. Questions in the Bible on Wednesday evening. You come, be a part of the meeting. All right, take some time. Amen.
I know
it's
because of everybody's prayers. I'm so thankful. My church home, my church family, I missed it dearly.
Amen. Amen. Take some time to fellowship with